Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis. Tonight on Whiskey Business, a Whiskey Business wellness check. How well are we? How well aren't we? Tonight on Whiskey Business. Tripodis, and welcome to Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. And every once in a while, we have an opportunity just to sit and reflect. Or that's just a nice excuse for saying we don't have a guest. But there's opportunities when we don't have a guest that we do have a time to sit and reflect. And tonight I took advantage of this opportunity because it's just myself and the guy I started this podcast with, Greg Hansberry.
We're the OGs.
Yeah, the OGs of WB. Whatever. John Whitney's not even here. John Whitney is on assignment. He's someplace in West Virginia. We might check in with him a little bit later tonight to see, but he couldn't supply what has become a very integral part of this podcast. He's not providing the video component that we like to have on it as well. So it's just me and you.
You look great, by the way.
Right?
You know, I got dressed up.
I got to admit, I kind of like the only I should have put on my pajamas and my robe while I had the opportunity. But it gives us an opportunity for just me and you to sit and talk. And I was thinking, like, what are we going to talk about? I go, you know what? There's a lot of shit that we can talk about. Mm-hmm. Because in the past few weeks, in the last couple months, you know, we did our first face-to-face podcast last week with Jesse Hubbard.
We've been doing it over the StreamYard, over the Zoom, and Facebook Live,
and
YouTube
those have
Live.
Been, you know, thank God for technology because those have worked, but it's not the same as being across from each other. And when we had that podcast with Jesse last week, I was like, I was so jazzed. I felt so good about sitting across from somebody and actually conversing with somebody and talking and seeing their face and their body language and so forth and so on. And when I knew that we didn't have anybody actually lined up, and we debated whether we were going to do one because John had to go out of town and do the West Virginia thing, and I decided, you know what? No, let's me and Hansberry record one and do a wellness check.
Okay.
Of ourselves.
A wellness visit.
A wellness visit. What I mean by that is like, you know, I want to actually talk about some of the silly things, but good things. You know, we've had this year of a pandemic where it's been god-awful and people have been sick and people have died and so forth and so on. But I kind of wanted to, like, chat back and forth about maybe some of the good things that came out of it. You know, because out of something that's terrible and bad, there's usually something good. And some of them, I'll be honest with you, are going to be silly. I'll start off right off the bat with, you know, like, what good came out of the pandemic? And I'll tell you right out of the gate, for me, it was toilet paper.
Okay, what about toilet paper?
Toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
I've always been a two-ply or better guy. That's not a big issue, right?
You're not a bottom-shelf toilet paper guy.
No. One-ply is, you know, I'm a grown-up for crying out
loud. You don't have a septic tank in the backyard.
I'm a grown-ass man. I've worked hard all my life. I deserve more than one-ply. But it's always been two-ply or better. And that was the only really consideration.
Whatever,
I saw something on sale, I picked it up. When the pandemic hit and toilet paper was in short supply, I remember going to the store, and I had purchased this on occasion, but there was one day where the Cottonelle was available.
Nice.
And it was the Cottonelle with the ridges.
Oh,
and the purple label, not the blue one, the purple label. And it was a big stack of it, you know, one of those 24 rolls, whatever the case might be. And I bought it because
you have to keep the leftover in the cellar just because that's the only room.
This was when toilet paper was at a premium where you could sell it like crack on the street corner. And in the past year, that's one of the good things I have now. I'm a strict Cottonelle purple label Ridges guy. My daughter God bless her, said, we're out of toilet paper, and she picked up a 12-pack of Angel Soft.
Oh my gosh.
That's in the back. And that's a perfectly
nothing wrong with Angel Soft.
Nothing wrong with Angel Soft, but
it's not the purple label.
It's not my Cottonelle purple label. And you know, that I consider that to be a good thing that came out of the pandemic, that I have bonded with, no pun intended, bonded with a specific type of toilet paper, and that's one of my silly good things right out of the gate.
All
right, you know, had it not been for the pandemic, I would have gone with whatever 2-ply was on sale for the rest of my life. My toilet paper purchasing would have been something just mediocre and mindless. Now there is a purpose to my poop.
You had an epiphany.
I had an epiphany about the paper for my poop.
That's good.
That's one thing. That's one small thing. There are much larger, grander, more important emotional things.
Sure.
But to start off with, I'm starting off with the toilet paper.
I learned a lot about my dogs.
Your dogs?
Yeah.
Dogs.
Yep. I have two dogs.
Have you always had two dogs?
I always had two dogs. So I have Harriet, who is our Harriet's our firstborn, who like we had before our kids, and I would sacrifice my child's life just for like 90 minutes more longer with this dog. This is my favorite child. And then we have Greta, which is just another dog my wife got a couple years ago.
When? Do I remember you even getting Greta? You never spoke of Greta.
That's because she's no
it's
Harriet.
It's almost like your second child.
Yeah, I'm like, No, I don't care about this other dog. It's just my wife got it one day, and that's it. Now we got two.
How is that? I've known you this long, and I don't recall a Greta. I've always thought it was Harriet. There's always been two dogs.
It's only been a couple years, so.
Still.
She's no Harriet.
She's no Harriet. Does Greta know that she's no Harriet?
I openly speak about this, how she's, you know, like when you have kids, you can't play favorites.
Right.
But dogs, I openly speak about it. Get out of here. You're not my favorite dog. You're not Harriet. Get out of here, Greta.
Does Greta sense that?
Probably. Because she tries to suck up to me.
Oh, man.
She sucks up to me.
Well, now I feel bad for Greta.
Well, and then Harriet's old and eventually going to die, and then I'll be like, okay, I guess I'll play with you. And anyway.
So what have you learned about dogs?
Well, they were saying like they've got these science dogs that like can like sniff out COVID.
Right.
And like they know, you know, they could go around and like tell it, you know, if this virus is in your blood.
Heard that,
right.
Yeah.
So when I had COVID, I thought, oh, this is a great chance to test my dogs out to see like if they're going to be like these super scientific like Lassie dogs that can
COVID
sniff
dogs.
COVID dogs.
Yeah.
And I expected
Timmy's got COVID.
Right.
What's that? Timmy's got COVID? Yeah.
19 barks if COVID. We've got 19 COVID.
Timmy's got COVID? He's got a fever? He's having trouble breathing? Where's he at, girl? Where's he at?
Exactly. I thought this is perfect. Harriet and Greta and the other one are going to be in.
Timmy's stuck in a well someplace,
and
you know.
There's other people are dying, but they're sniffing out COVID.
Right.
So I go home and I got the COVID and I'm expecting them to, be at my bedside, hand and foot, bring me warm bowls of broth.
The dogs?
Yeah. Dogs. You know, cool, the COVID dogs. I thought that's what they do. You know what they did?
Nothing.
Not a goddamn thing.
Nothing. Neither one of them? Not even Harriet?
Not even Harriet, my favorite dog. Didn't fucking do shit. So
what have you learned about your dogs?
That they don't care about you.
They
don't care about me. They don't love me.
They don't care about you. Maybe, and this is just me thinking like a dog.
Yeah.
This is me thinking like a dog. Maybe Harriet has a lot more compassion than you do for Greta and said, you know what? When that son of a bitch is sick, neither one of us is doing shit.
We know how to make broth.
Yeah,
we know how to get the broth out of the oven and bring it to you, but no.
Yeah.
We're not gonna.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, when, you know, your wife gets sick, they'll be there, you know, hand and paw. Paw and paw. They can't be hand and foot. Their hand is a foot.
a damp towel for her forehead.
Yeah. They'll be like those big Saint Bernards. They'll be the little containers around the neck, waiting on your wife hand and foot. But they don't give a shit about you because you don't care about Greta.
Fuck Greta.
See, dogs. They're yeah. together. They're together.
So that's yeah. So I've learned a lot about the pets.
I learned something. Okay, staying positive here. I learned a lot about myself, I guess, which sure. is a positive thing.
A lot of time with yourself, yeah.
Did you learn anything about yourself? I found out that I do not do well with all the time in the world. That's a killer for me. Mm-hmm. It strips me of my motivation.
Sure.
It strips me of my ambition. There's an old saying that if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Mm-hmm.
I did much better when I was busy, when I knew I only had 3 hours to do this or 4 hours to work on this or an hour to work on yep. this, I would get stuff done. When I can wake up in the morning and know I've got the whole day in front of me and as much time as I need to get something done, I don't get nearly as much done.
Right.
So time, all the time in the world, especially when things shut down and we weren't going anywhere or able to go anywhere, it about killed me.
Sure.
Now that things are opening up again and you can actually schedule things and do things, I find myself being a little more productive.
Held accountable.
Yes, yep. Held accountable.
Yeah. No, one of my favorite musicians are the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson, and that was like all as one of his, like, you know, he was always going crazy, and he would lay in bed because he didn't want to get out of bed because the possibilities were endless. So he would lay in bed because every decision, you know, the world was at his fingertips. But as soon as the second he got out of bed and started doing stuff, he started limiting his possibilities. So it drove himself nuts. So if he just stayed there and didn't do anything, then everything is possible.
Everything is possible because you're not putting anything into motion. As soon as you start putting something into motion, you start thinking about all the things that you're not doing
yep.
or could have done. But if you do nothing, wow, that is a vicious, ugly circle.
Yeah. So he went nuts and laid in bed for several years straight or something like that.
We should probably mention the business real quick.
We do have a guest bottle.
We have a guest bottle in the business. You want to do the business first? Yeah. Mention our guest bottle?
Yeah. Thanks for sitting with us so far of our health, our health check. But, I'm just going to submit this into my doc and just say, here, this is how I'm doing.
No, I got more. I got more. And we might actually try to check on John Whitney, too, yeah. West Virginia.
WhiskeyBusinessPod.com is our website. Check it out if you want to see all of our archive episodes and some of our videos and writings from Dino. If you're on your favorite podcasting app right now, thank you very much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review us, and share us with your friends. And this one is not being videotaped, like we kind of talked about, but we do have a channel on YouTube, Whiskey right. Business with Dino Tripodis, where we have not only just our shows videotaped, but a lot of behind the bottle, little shorts, and different things. But thanks for checking it out. And like we say, word of mouth. Share with all your friends, please.
And you always throw in something in there that we're not on.
Right, yeah. Well,
but this time I'm going to throw in something.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we are going to be on it. And I'm going to make a subtle nod to Evergreen. Evergreen Podcasting.
Sweet.
Is a network that we are joining and in the process of joining. And the boarding process, as they say, and in the weeks to come, we will be part of the Evergreen family, which, as I just saw on LinkedIn, that a couple of podcasts won some awards. I'd have to go back and check and see what exactly was going on that some of the Evergreen podcasts won, but that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that's on their network gets nominated and wins
cool
stuff, and I'm not saying that's the reason we got on board, but
they'd have to have somebody to make everybody else look good.
Yeah, right. They need something to compare the other good stuff to. No, we're thrilled to be joining them in the weeks to come. It'll be good for us. Hopefully, it'll be good for them as well. So, more details about that as we go along. Bottle 162. Is another Jack Daniel's product. I know we've had Jack Daniel's on the show before. I always say it's a different bottle every week, and this is technically a different bottle because this is part of the Master Distiller series that I picked up a while back. This is the number 2 edition, the Jesse Butler, the Jess Motlow edition.
What is that? Who does that even mean? Yeah.
He's a master distiller from 1911 to 1941 over at Jack Daniel's, and Jack Daniel's was actually his uncle. Mm. So it was definitely in the family.
And how old is this bottle? Because I see a little dust on it.
No, there's a little dust. It's only because it's not old.
Oh, it's not that old.
It was. I can't remember when this was actually put out. I remember picking it up a few years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. I think. But Jess Motlow, like I said, he was the nephew of Uncle Jack, and. He's actually quoted on this bottle saying it was good enough for Uncle Jack. It's good enough for me. So yeah,
Why not? It's smooth, and I want to say like a little touch of apple. I don't know what is it. Does it say in there?
No, I could look at it. It's if you're picking up on some apple, then there might be some apple in it. I did not pick up on the apple. I just like the fact that it's I picked up these bottles. There's more. They have a whole series of the Master Distiller series. So if you can find them somewhere and pick them up, probably more likely to be able to pick them up actually down in Lynchburg. Mm. You know, if you go to the distillery,
out of print or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Huh. Cool.
So that is our guest bottle tonight. You know, if we're gonna do a wellness check, I'm gonna do it with Jack Daniel's, and then everything, no matter what we say,
everything's well.
We'll be fine. Socially, how did you fare in the past year? I mean, for me, it was the podcast.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the podcast, I don't know.
Yeah, you stayed in your little bubble. You know, I've said this before, I think, on the show, but I really dodged a bullet. I did get sick, but luckily it wasn't bad. And I had to go into work every day. Like, you know, I'm working at the radio station, mm-hmm. so we had to go in. So I was seeing people at work. The kids were in school the whole time. They go to a little private school, so... there were a couple of the kids were doing soccer games and different things. So the only thing I couldn't do was go to bars. We would do our thing. I would meet up with some buddies when we could socially distance outside or whatever. You know, we had our bubble. My brother-in-law is my buddy, Matt, who was in our family circle. So,
is that the same Matt that was here?
Yeah, he was on our Christmas program.
From Schmidt's?
Yeah, yeah.
The one that fell off the porch and into the bushes afterwards? Is that Matt?
The very same.
Yeah. Okay.
The very same. Yeah. I'm really a bad person to ask because thankfully we were blessed that nothing really crazy happened to us. You know, there was a lot of changes. My wife had to work from home, some of those things, but...
So you went into you pretty much kept going into the station the whole time?
I worked every day, 5 days a week, and the kids were in school.
I vaguely remember you saying that, but there were protocols in place, right?
Right, yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah, we were safe, and they separated the offices, you know, like the office was separated with the kind of the business folks, and a lot of the sellers worked from home, but, you know, being in the studio on the air, we were in. Yeah, we were, what was kind of a cool thing is right away when COVID hit, we were informed that broadcasters are technically first responders.
That makes sense.
Because, I mean, in theory of, you know, if we're trying to disseminate news,
I get it.
Information of where to go, where the health thing is, you know, whatever, like evacuation. So we, not only were we kind of expected to go in, but we actually got official paperwork from the FCC saying that we were allowed to be on the road. So if we if there was a shutdown and we got pulled over, we could show this paperwork. We got this paperwork that was like officially stamped and sealed from the FCC saying that if there was a gasoline ration that, you know, because beginning of the pandemic, nobody knew what was going on. Nobody. Like, I mean, that was... Right. Possible that there was going to be a gasoline ration, that we were allowed to get gasoline for our vehicles to get into work. So that was kind of a cool moment to be a part of. And I kept those papers. I have them in an envelope and sealed. I figured it would kind of be cool to look at in, you know, 50 years.
And then show your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Your daddy was a first responder. Yeah. He was on the front line.
I used to mean something.
He was on the front line. He was on the front line of it all.
And now it's just we're giving away Genesis tickets. You know? So it's kind of...
really? Genesis is coming?
Genesis. October 8th at Nationwide Arena.
Oh, wow.
Or December 8th.
See, things are happening.
Things are opening
again.
Up again.
There's concerts again.
Yeah.
There's all that kind of stuff. And I see it happening, and I see it opening up, and I see, you know, I met somebody today for lunch at a restaurant, and the restaurant was busy.
Yeah.
There were people, you know, everybody came in with their mask, but once they were seated, they took the mask off.
Yep.
And, you know, so those protocols were in place, and the server had a mask on the whole time. I mean, yeah, and I don't even think twice about that anymore. Yeah. It's just like, that's just the way it is. But, you know, it wasn't like, I didn't feel like it was a quarantined situation. It felt as normal as it's going to get right now. And, yep. I didn't feel, and maybe it's because I've been vaccinated and, you know, I've gotten both my shots and I've done everything I can do.
Right.
But I actually enjoyed myself. I was, you know, I have not been in restaurants where I've just sat and had a meal and not been worried, you know, the whole time. So I'm getting better. I've never been super paranoid, but at the same time, I didn't want to get sick. I had, he was a friend, not a close friend. My brother-in-law was really, really close mm-hmm. friends with him, but an acquaintance over the years who just died from COVID. Funeral was Friday, last Friday, 56 years old.
Wow.
You know, had trouble breathing, didn't go to the doctor. Oops. If we would have gone to the doctor 3 or 4 days earlier, maybe they could have intervened.
Sure.
He went from the hospital to ICU, from ICU to a ventilator,
boom,
to God rest his soul, passed.
Boom, boom, boom.
You know, 56 years of age.
It's still hitting people.
It's still, and there's still stuff to deal with. So, but when you tell me, you know, we're giving away tickets to Genesis, like, oh wow, concert, a big concert.
Yeah.
You know,
indoor. You know, cause like I said, in December.
And how's that going to be? You know, am I ready for that? I don't even know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah, there's some of the smaller venues in town, the Newport and the Pavilion, LC Pavilion or whatever it's called now. They're scheduling concerts, and I don't know about that.
I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
Yeah.
But you know, I like that it's going in that direction.
Sure.
Because that means certain things are coming and becoming normal.
Well,
again.
And jobs again for all those people that work those events. I mean, that's the thing is people need
to go back to work. I'd say that was probably, you know, when I left Sunny, I was okay. I had stuff to do. I had things I wanted to do and got a lot of them done. But when the pandemic hit, I think that's when I really pined to be back on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved being there when something was going on,
right,
you know, of significance and importance. So I wanted to be there for the right reasons.
Sure.
You know, I didn't want to be on the radio and spout off my opinions about COVID and so forth and so on. But I wanted to be on the radio to say, hey, you know what? We're going through the same thing you're going through.
You feel part of something.
Part of something,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like those papers.
Share those thoughts.
You feel part of something bigger.
And that's why I love the podcast, because we've done that. We've done several shows like this where we've kind of shared our feelings as we've gone along. In fact, I may go back and listen to some of those archived episodes to hear what we were thinking and feeling at a particular time, because like you said, we didn't know anything.
No.
Yeah, anything at all. It seemed like the world was coming unhinged at that particular time, and yet here we are sitting across from each other having a Master Distiller Series, you know, limited edition number 2 Jack Daniels, talking about how you feeling,
Joss Mahlo.
How you doing? Should we check on John Whitney? Should
let's
we try to call him?
Yeah, let's do it.
Can we do that?
Do we have we're going to try to figure it out here.
Do we have it figured out? How do I do it? Do we just call him on my phone, or do you
call him on my phone?
Do you have the number?
Yeah, I got John's number. I'm just calling him on his cell phone, right?
Yeah, right, right, right.
All right, well, this is not coming through this, is it? Hey, Johnny.
No, no, you're not coming through the system. Hang on a second. Hold on here, buddy.
If I hang up on you, I'll call you back. Can, wait, say something.
Check, check, check.
Oh, there it is.
Is it working?
Yeah.
It is now.
Oh, okay.
We're doing a wellness check, Johnny, and we were just commenting on the fact that you were probably, that I said you were lamenting over the fact that you weren't here to just chat with us, so we thought we'd try to give you a call in West Virginia. What are you doing in West Virginia?
I have to travel sometimes, you know how it goes.
Wild, wonderful West Virginia. Do they still have that sign when you get into the,
you know? I believe you do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just, I'm so blank to going to West Virginia these days, I don't even notice that I cross the Ohio River sometimes.
Is it wild and is it wonderful?
It is so wild and wonderful. You cannot believe it. It's amazing how awesome it is. Was it Take Me Home, Country Road? Is
I remember that Wheeling, West Virginia, is close to Steubenville, and for some reason I remember that, that seeing a sign saying Wheeling is for lovers.
Oh, is it? That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I thought that was Virginia.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't know if it is or not. That, oh, because they would say, you know, come get that Wheeling feeling.
Isn't that where all that's where all the dog racing's there, right?
Right, yeah. I don't like the dog racing. I don't like dogs racing. I'm against dog racing. Did I ever tell you that?
No. Why are you against dog racing?
Because I like dogs, and I don't think they treat the dogs right.
The horses, it's okay.
I didn't say that, but the horses, you know, and maybe I'm a little naive, but yeah, I like to think that the horses are taken better care of, but I don't think the dogs are.
How do you feel about cockfighting?
I hear they're treated very well.
Cockfighting. Sorry, what kind of hotel are you in? You got like a Motel 8 or something fancy?
Nothing fancy. I think it's like a $90 a night room kind of place.
Okay.
It kind of next to the highway and a couple of gas stations. A lot of closed down restaurants around.
Do you feel safe? You know, since you're out of the Ohio bubble, do you feel safe in West Virginia? Do you feel like, because this is, we're calling this episode tonight the Whiskey Business Wellness Check.
Okay.
And kind of like where we're all at, you know, right now with, you know, things opening up and getting a little more normal. Do you, you know, are you moving in a normal fashion, or are you like, hey, what's going on over there? That guy's not doing this. That girl's not doing that. How's the mask protocol?
Oh, my God, man. They do not believe in masks. I cannot believe how many people I've seen just waltz into the hotel or in the at the convenience store just across the street without a mask. Dude, it's like they don't even give a shit. And I'm just sitting there going, I'm glad I'm immunized, but these guys, I mean, either they don't believe it or they just don't give a shit.
Probably a little bit of both.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
Today, my son had baseball practice. It was the first baseball practice. And it was awesome because, you know, I guess President Fauci says if you're outside, you can, you know, you don't need to have the mask. And it was kind of cool because there was like four or five of us dads and these kids. And it was the first time we were like outside doing these physical activities and none of us felt like weird and awkward about having masks on.
Right.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it just beat into my head, you know, that I'm wearing this mask even though I'm immunized.
And you've been working from home too, so you're not exactly like going out in the meat of things regardless.
No, I'm not going out partying or anything like that. I rarely go out in public, you know, and when I do, I follow the protocols.
Right. Tell everybody what you are drinking, though. You went to the convenience store to pick up a little something?
Yeah, I have actually a 40-ounce, like, what is it, one pint and 8 ounces of fluid ounces of Yingling.
Yes, 40, you got a 40-ounce, you got a 40, you got a 40 of Yingling? Can you finish that?
Man.
Can you finish that before it gets warm?
That's what
I've been milking it since, like, 8 o'clock, so.
That's funny.
I figured when in Rome, you know, I'm here in West Virginia, I may as well get a 40, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I walk by the prostitutes on the way back to my hotel. It's nice.
Oh, it's nice.
A 40. We used to play Edward 40 hands instead of Edward Scissors hands, and we would take two 40s and we would duct tape them to our hands.
That's ridiculous.
And you couldn't unduct tape them until they're both empty.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and I want to try it right now.
I want to do it.
40 hands. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and I can't wait to
leave
it
up to the ingenuity of the Dayton Flyers to come up with that nonsense.
That's right.
All right, man. We'll let you get back to, what are you doing, watching the Reds?
Yeah, I'm watching Lose to the Pirates right now.
Oh, the Reds and the Pirates. Yeah. Who's winning?
7-2 in the top of the ninth. So.
Who's winning?
Oh, the Pirates.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we're not the shittiest team.
The blind squirrel finds a nut.
That's what I mean, man. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's okay.
All right, man. Well, next week, everything's back to normal. We'll be talking with the folks from B&R Distillers in Memphis. That remotely. We'll be Facebook Live in that one, and John Whitney will be at the helm again. We'll be StreamYarding it, but get back safe, brother.
All right, man.
All right.
All right. See you, Johnny.
Talk to you, Johnny. Bye bye. Okay. Who else can we call?
I want to call the hotel that he's at and order room service. can you set up another 40 of Yuengling?
Now he's somebody that he's ready to go back to work. I mean he wants to. Yeah, that was my next question. Now you kind of
He's calling us back.
He's calling us back.
Yeah.
Tell him we're recording it.
John, we're recording a
podcast. We're busy here. We're trying to do a podcast.
Oh, you're still recording? I thought you were just doing a test.
That was it, you jackass.
That wasn't a test.
I'll let you guys go. I'm sorry. I completely misunderstood the entire situation.
No,
he did great. He did great.
He did great. No, we were recording that. We're done.
Hey, can we call down the front desk and have him deliver up a hair net or something for you?
Did you really think that whole thing was just a test? That whole conversation? No, I would have said, okay, that's a test. That's the podcast.
You said it was a guinea pig. I didn't know. That's fine. Sorry. All right, guys. I'll let you go. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. See ya.
I can also receive phone calls, apparently.
Yeah, apparently you can get phone calls as well. All right. So we'll see John Whitney soon. He'll get back from West Virginia. Next week on the podcast, we'll all be together again, but we'll be doing it remotely. We got the B&R Distillers from Memphis talking about, remember the Blue Note we had with Jesse?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got the Blue Note and the Riverset Rye.
We're going to have the Rye next week.
And the Rye next week, it's back there, you see it. And we'll talk to the head of the distillery and find out what they're all about and if... In fact, they might be coming to Ohio before it's all said and done. That'd be nice. This past year has probably been the worst year for my health. Seriously, it's been the worst year for my health. In the past year, you know, I got diagnosed with osteoarthritis.
Ouch.
You know, and it's not a life-threatening thing, but it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I found out, man, why is this hurt? Why is that hurt? You know, and he goes, yeah, you went and got X-rays. You're riddled with osteoarthritis. I go, really? She goes, yeah, you have it in your neck. You have it in your shoulders, in your neck, in your back, in your hips. And blah, blah, blah. Like, what do I do? You know, well, exercise, physical therapy, so forth. You know, but it's there. I didn't have it a year ago. Or maybe I did have it a year ago. It's just more pronounced than the past year because I've been sitting on my ass. And you know, and didn't move enough,
right?
So you know, I want
to and tell the fine folks at home about your adventure to the dentist.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
everything's falling apart on you.
Everything's falling apart. I had to get a tooth extracted.
Ugh.
And it was a choice. It was like I was hoping it was a root canal because I've had plenty of root canals, and root canals you have the pain, you're in horrible pain before the root canal, but after the root canal,
boom,
you're good. You're fine. That they took care of the problem. Having to go to the dentist, there was a tooth that was loose, and he goes, that one needs to be extracted. Like, or possibly be extracted. I don't know if there's enough there to do it and make a root canal. I was praying for the root canal. Mm-hmm. No, it needed to be extracted. And that is some medieval barbaric shit. It's 2021. And I swear to God, Hansberry, as I'm looking at the tray, I swear to God, I saw a chisel and a fucking mallet in there. I'm like, it's 2021. They can't find better ways to extract a tooth to get it out.
Pliers.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that they're using to get it out. And then they had an issue with it. So they had to go and they had to cut. If this grosses people out, I apologize. They had to move me from one chair to another chair because that's where they had the equipment to cut some bone. They had to drill some bone in order to loosen up the tooth. And I was in more pain after the extraction than I was before the extraction. Now, I knew it had to come out because eventually, if I left it alone, it would have abscessed and gotten far, far worse, whatever the case might be. But it was like, you know, what kind of freaking Three Stooges school of dentistry am I at where there's a chisel and a mallet? Come here, you. Hey, Mo, I got a tooth that needs to come out. I'll get it out for you. You know, chip, 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 wank, chum, poom. You know. Kaboom, kaboom. Tie a string around my tooth and put it on the doorknob. Slam the door. Yeah. There was that. So, oh. Yeah. And technically, according to the post-op instructions, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing right
drinking
now.
Drinking and smoking.
Yeah, I should not be doing that, you know.
You know. Self-medicating.
Yeah.
You did think you fully not take the Vicodin. Until you're gonna wait till after the show.
You know what? The Vicodin is just Vicodin doesn't help me. I have a high tolerance for pain, for one. And that's how my daughter knew I was in real pain
yesterday. When you were hurting.
Yeah, she goes, "Wow, you have a high tolerance for pain. If you're hurting, it must be horrible." And it was horrible yesterday. If ten was the worst, I was like at an 8 yesterday. This morning I woke up with like a 5, and right now. Right now I feel like I'm about a 3, 3.5, to be honest with you.
Thanks to the Jack Dylan. And that's
without the Vicodin doesn't help me. You know, I'll never be an opioid addict because
it doesn't do it for you.
It doesn't do it for me.
That's good.
I don't get any relief. So, you know, why even go down that path? Just good old fashioned ibuprofen every once in a while and hope for the best.
And a shot of Jack.
Yeah, yeah. Don't take my medical advice, people. It works for me. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you.
Love it.
But, yeah, man, this has been good. Anything else you want to share about the anything? Any words of wisdom from you?
No.
Moving forward, I mean, do you feel optimistic? Do you feel like we're actually coming to the light at the end of the tunnel?
I think that what worries me now is almost the same things that worried me at the beginning. I was never frightened of getting ill. Although I was plenty at risk for it, it's what's the aftermath gonna look like, you know, after the dust settles. What industries are still going to be hurting? What restaurants are still going to be closed? What, you know, it's kind of more of the, just the overall economy, you know, there's just going to be a lot of questions in the air that aren't going to be resolved. Even if we get everything but vaccinated and everybody's looking good and we're celebrating 4th of July, like Uncle Joe says,
mm-hmm.
You know, Where's you know the restaurant industry going to be? Where's the radio industry going to be? Where are these things going to land?
I don't know, but it's taught me not to take shit for granted.
Right,
that's for sure.
Yep,
because talk about learning as you go. You think about those very very first days when we got shut down. You think about those very first days where like. Well, you don't have to wear a mask. Actually, wearing a mask is worse than not wearing a mask. I remember those early days, right?
Yeah. Nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew, you know. Simple things like people that were in the hospital with COVID and how they were positioning them on the mm-hmm. on a bed,
right?
You know, as far as how to breathe, you know,
on your belly, on your back,
yeah,
upright,
yeah, it's stuff that. Simple stuff that they figured out, complicated stuff that they figured out. And in respects to the vaccine, you know, pretty goddamn amazing that the powers that be, if you believe in the vaccine, and if you don't, that's fine. You know, if you think it's a bunch of bullshit, that's your opinion. I personally am thankful that the powers that be mm-hmm. got together and came up with something as fast as they did.
Sure.
To try to get people vaccinated, you know. Would I have been fine without it? Maybe I would have been, but not the chance I wanted to take
nope.
at this point in my life, because I got a lot of shit I still want to do, and you know, I didn't want to take my chances. So, and I'm a gambler. You know I'm a gambler. That's the other thing, too.
Uh-oh.
That's the other revelation I had. I forgot I wanted to share.
Okay.
Over the past yeah. year. I'm not a degenerate gambler.
You're not.
I'm not.
Okay.
I love to gamble.
But
when it was taken away from me,
yeah.
When the chance to go to the casino was taken away from me, when the chance to go to a bar and play keno mm-hmm. was taken away from me,
it didn't matter.
I was fine.
There you go. See,
I was fine. I didn't immediately like go online to find something to bet
right.
on.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't find some online gambling site
some where sports I, deal or yeah,
sports
yeah,
or
yeah.
poker, whatever the right. case might be. You know, I didn't feel the. I wasn't like, oh man. You know, I was like, okay, that's comforting. Now, when I go to the casino or if I go to play keno, you know, I can't stop. I'm kidding. I got my limits. But I'm saying, like, that was kind of reassuring in a way.
You reminded me of just like the casino and things that are opening up. A couple of summers ago, we had a harebrained idea to record an episode of Whiskey Business at the ball game at the Clippers minor league baseball stadium here in Columbus. I think we need to try to figure out logistics about that again.
I think we should.
There's us and a couple of your buddies who are super into baseball.
Oh, the Mikey Lawyer and Mikey and Larry. Yeah.
Yeah. We were going to sit up in the outfield
right.
and call the game and. Just
yeah.
bullshit.
Mikey and Larry were saying, like, you got to come up for a reason to get us back on the podcast. They've been on two of them, I think, in the last 5 years.
That's it.
I said, I don't need a reason. I said, guys get back up, but that's a good reason. I mean, those guys, they sit there with the, you know, they
score that they do the box score and
they do the box yeah. score of the game. Yeah, they do it old school. So that they would be the perfect guests
all right.
for that particular type of podcast.
All right, we'll work on it. Because I think as we're recording this, I think this week is the home openers.
They'd be very much into that in a big way. If you can figure out the logistics on how to record it, that would be fun. That would be a good time. All right, let's wrap it up, shall we?
That's it.
You got to go to work in the morning.
I know.
And I have to get up. And that's all.
Subscribe to Whiskey Business on your favorite podcasting app. Rate and review us. Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis is on YouTube. You can watch all of our fun videos. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, whiskeybusinesspod.com.
Mm-hmm. Guest bottle, Jack Daniel's Master Distiller Series, the limited number 2 edition from Jesse Butler, Jess Motlow, the master distiller from 1911 to 1941.
It was good. It definitely tasted like Jack, but different.
But different. A little special.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Jack Daniels. There's something different about all familiar. The different bottles they put out, but always
yeah.
something very,
yes.
very familiar. All right, my friends. Thanks for paying a little bit of attention and putting up with this tonight. Until the next bottle, I'm Dino Tripodis. See ya.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.